Our thanks to the music community for leading us in celebration and worship today. It's our distinct pleasure to have as our guest speaker this morning, Senator Norma Champion. Norma is, of course, with the Missouri State Senate, and she's also a professor of broadcasting communication and theory at Evangel University. In addition to her many legislative duties, Senator Champion has served on a number of community and educational organizations, including the Midwest Higher Education Commission and the Commission on Higher Education for the Assemblies of God. She's also served the Missouri House of Representatives from 1993 to 2002 and the Springfield City Council from 1987 to 1992. She, however, was first known, unlike me, if you grew up in Springfield, you maybe first knew her as Aunt Norma. She wrote, produced a host of children, and was the host of the Children's Hour and a commercial announcer for KYTV from 1957 to 1986. She's listed in Who's Who Among American Women, Who's Who of International Business and Professional Women, and the Who's Who in American Politics. She has lived one distinguished life. But we are especially honored and grateful that she's been a part of the Central Assembly family for over 50 years. And what a gift you've been to us. Let's welcome Norma Champion as she comes to speak.
What a delight to be here this morning and to come together for what we always come together for on Sunday morning, to honor God, to worship Him, and to thank Him for His wonderful blessings to us. But this is a birthday celebration this morning, and so we are especially thankful for what our nation has meant to us and for the men and women who have made sacrifices in our military to make it possible for us to have the freedoms that we have. We do have a great nation. We are the envy of the world. We have freedom and blessings, and for any number of reasons, that one of our biggest problems is having more people wanting to come to our country than we can accommodate at any given time. And very few people are in a hurry to leave America, but America has become worldwide recognized as a wonderful place of freedom, of religious freedom, of economic opportunities, of all sorts of blessings that God has made possible for us. Our Constitution is truly an inspired document. I have no doubt that our founding fathers prayed about it and had divine guidance in our Constitution. It doesn't try to tell us each thing we should do. It isn't prescriptive. It is a document of a philosophical attitude about the rights that every human being has and how it's the responsibility of the United States government to protect those rights. And we have a wonderful, very, very tiny document. The document in Missouri, our Constitution is quite thick, and most states probably are, but it's a small document and something that has lived throughout generations because it was so prayerfully and carefully conceived. We have our laws that help us to spell out exactly what we can and can't do in order to preserve those freedoms and those privileges and those God-given gifts from that our Constitution preserves. And our laws come about not by coercion, not by force, but they come about from dialogue and persuasion and cooperation and compromise. And we have a balance of powers. Our executive branch and our judicial branch and our legislative branch each have their own designated position and responsibilities and authority, and they balance to make sure that that no one takes advantage. We don't have a king or a ruler, but we have, in fact, we actually have four branches of government. We also have the citizens' branch, and that is the underlying basis for all of our balance of power, is that we have the opportunity to have input, to make a selection about the people who are going to serve us, and to be able to pray for them and encourage them And we just have so many wonderful blessings. I have had the privilege of presenting about 150 medallions to World War II soldiers, military. And every time I do, I realize how fortunate we are. We have all these blessings, and most of us have not made any great sacrifices for it. Nothing like we have in our military personnel who've sacrificed and their families who have sacrificed. And I've also participated in immigration ceremonies. And you cannot do that without realizing how blessed we are to live in the country we do when we see people who have worked so hard and saved and planned to be a citizen of the United States. And it's something that we need to be proud of. We are blessed. We are a generous country. We are a compassionate country. In fact, the French philosopher Alex de Tocqueville in the mid-1800s traveled America, and he wanted to see what there was that was so great about America. Was it their economy? Was it their military power? Was it their constitution? What was so made America such a great, outstanding country? And when he finished his travels, he concluded with this thought. He said, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And we are a great nation, and we do have good people. And our values are what hold us together. We are united more with our values than anything else. It isn't our language or our race or our economic status. It is our set of values that we share. And where we are strong is where we share those values. And where we're weak is when we get divided. But that's what holds us together. That's what makes us America. And I like what de Tocqueville had to say, but I think he maybe have missed the point just a little bit. I would suggest that America is great because God is good. And God has honored his promises to us from the time that he made promises to his children of Israel right down to today. God never changes and never fails to honor his promises. And he said to them, as he says to us, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and confess their sins and call on me, I will hear them from heaven and I will forgive their sins and I will heal their land. That's what makes America great. Now, do we have problems? Absolutely. And we have a lot of critics, both external critics and, unfortunately, too many internal critics. And it's become an American pastime to sit in front of the television in your recliner with your TV zapper and a cool drink and click from news channel to news channel. And we do have more information than we've ever had. And that's wonderful. We have access to all kinds of information. But we hear a little information and a little misinformation, and we become more and more critical that no one is doing it right. We've got simple solutions. If he would only do this, if she would only do that. And we become very, very critical in our attitude toward our leaders. And the scripture says we are to honor our leaders. We are to pray for them. We are to offer supplication and prayer and thanksgiving. This is how we strengthen America. Now, that doesn't mean that we take everything uncritically to the extent that whatever anybody wants to do is fine with us. We do need to look at issues. We need to look at our problems. We need to be part of the solution to the problems. But it is that habit of this criticism, no one does it right, and they don't do it instantly and give us instant answers the way Americans are used to getting instant answers. And I know much of it comes from fear. Most people are afraid. They are worried about safety. They are worried about economy. Is my 401k going to last until for the rest of my life? Am I going to be in good health? What is going to happen? Am I going to have to worry about terrorism? On and on and on, the worries. And so we look to the government to provide us with that security. There is no security in governments. Not ours or anyone else's. We love our country. We appreciate what it does. We have more freedoms than any peoples in the world, but our security doesn't come from there. We are aliens, remember? We are under a theocracy as well. Our security comes from our other government, and that security comes from God. And we need to be able to look to that and not be afraid. And it's nothing new for people to be afraid. The Israelites back in Isaiah, you can read, and they said, oh, God has deserted us. Oh, what's going to happen to us? Everything's happening. The world is just going to pot. And what are we going to do? And God said, what are you talking about? A mother might desert her child, but I am never going to desert you. See, he said, I have you engraved in the palms of my hands, and your walls are ever before me. Or one translation says, you are mine. How we can ever worry if we believe that. Now, we say sometimes we couch our disbelief in, well, our faith is a little weak, or we're not just strong enough in our faith as we should be. The bottom line is, we say, I know God said he will never, ever desert us. We are always in his hands. He will always take care of us, but I don't really believe it. If we really believe that, we know where our security is. And the scripture says, in quietness and in confidence is your strength. And that's, we get our security not from the world, not from a government, not from someone else, but from the security that the Father has given us. Well, I think what we need sometimes is what my daughter-in-law, when my granddaughter was little, and if she needed straightening out, my daughter-in-law would say to her quietly, come, let's go in the other room. You need an attitude adjustment. Some of us need an attitude adjustment, a different way of thinking. And I hear people say, well, I can't help how I think. Oh, but you can help how you think. The scripture talks about the renewing of your mind. It says to bring every thought into captivity. We can help how we think. The scriptures constantly tell us that our strength, the joy of the Lord is my strength. We must demonstrate that joy. We must not be caught up in the fears of the world, but we must demonstrate to the world the joy and the peace and the confidence that Christ gives us. And we need to remind ourselves of that. Maybe set the alarm 5 minutes early and start that first 5 minutes just lying there thinking of all the things you have to be grateful for, of all the security you have, and recognizing where your security comes from. And if you have trouble sleeping at night, spend that last 5 minutes before you try to fall asleep thinking about your blessings and how wonderful it is. God is good to us. He is the one we look to for our resources, which doesn't mean that we disengage ourselves from the rest of the world, even though we're aliens. Jesus made that very clear. Government is established by God. He has stamped his approval on it. And Jesus talked about honoring government, paying your taxes, doing the things that you are asked to do. Civil government has a separate role from God's government. Civil government is to protect us from each other so that we have the freedom to live the life we choose, and to punish us when we do not do that. And our laws help to carry that out. The government under God is an entirely different kind of government. I don't see anything in the scripture that really tells us to use civil government to further the kingdom. But I do see a lot in scripture that tells us to be involved. The very scripture in which Peter talks about the fact that we're aliens, he doesn't say we're aliens in this world, so let's get away from it, don't have anything to do with it, and be among ourselves and strengthen ourselves in the Lord. He says we are aliens in 1 Peter 2. And then the first thing he says is to do good works. Why? so that people may see your good works and glorify your Father. And it carries a blessing with it too. He says, so that you may live peaceful lives. That's the goal, to live peaceful lives and to show the world the peace and the security that comes in Christ. So we're not to be separate from the world. We are to be a part of the world, a big part of the world. I don't know how kind of involvement you are going to be in, what you are going to do to be a good citizen, to participate. God will direct you that way. I do know that members of the body have different gifts, and that some are leaders, and some pray, and some give, and so the body together is a unit in serving the Lord. But I can tell you this. I can tell you that if you'll go back to the scripture and constantly go back to your guide, you will find out how to do that. Maybe God will need to reveal to you exactly what activities, but he will tell you how to do it. And one of them has to do with our attitude, our character. One of the first responsibilities we have toward those in the world is to have a character that is, and you can find scripture, Paul talks to Timothy and says, tell the church this. He talks in several different books of the New Testament about how Christians should act. And he says, don't be quarrelsome. Don't slander anyone. Be peaceful. Be humble. And don't judge. And he says, now, when he was talking about judging and not associating with people who sin, he said, oh, I don't mean those people in the world. He said, what business is it of mine to judge the unsaved? God will do that. So we have a pattern of how we are to be as people in order to serve our country and to serve other people and to serve our Lord. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Display the fruit of the Spirit. And there is another thing I can tell you for sure that he tells you how to do it. Two great commandments, and you know them as well as I. One is to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And the other is to love your neighbor as yourself. That is what we are asked to do. Because as we love our fellow man, and the scripture says, he who loves his fellow man fulfills the law. And if you hate your fellow man and say you love God, you're a liar. You don't love God. Jesus said, when you feed my sheep, when you care for other people, you're caring for me. These two commandments, the scripture says, and the second is like unto it. Loving God and loving others are one of the same. And it's how we let people know about Christ. Our job is to, one by one, let people know what Jesus can do for them. What government can't do for them, where security is nowhere else. And that's what we do when we, as a church, right here at Central Assembly, when we serve the community outside of our, physically, outside of our church area, we are showing love for our neighbor. He who loves his fellow man fulfills the law. And those are things that we can do to show the world. Government is not ever going to change anybody's life. Government is not designed to change people's souls or to change people's lives. It restricts behavior when necessary. But God can change lives. And as we serve him and as we show forth the joy of Christ, how in the world are we ever going to convince people that there's great joy in serving the Lord if they don't see it? What kind of joy is that? We're as afraid as everybody else. And we need to be able to show that joy and to emit that love of God, because that's how people know about Jesus. During the time when Jesus walked on earth, the disciples said, "Let us see God. We don't see God. We don't know God." And he said, "Oh, yes, you've seen God. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." And that's what the world needs to hear from us. When they see us, they should see Christ. So what we ought to be is lovers, not critics. Teddy Roosevelt had something to say about critics when he said, "It's not the critic who counts. It's not the man who points out how the strong man stumbled or how the doer could have done it better. The credit belongs to the man who's actually in the arena, who actually does try to do the deed and spends himself in a worthy cause." You and I need to be good citizens of this world. We can do that by going back and using the scripture as our guide and pointing the world to the real source of their strength. We are to be the salt of the earth, making, preserving, and adding flavor. We are to be the light of the world, lighting the way. A city on a hill, offering refuge. And as we do those things, the world sees Christ. And we can win souls for him one by one. And we can make America remain the great nation that it is. And when we pray to God and confess our own sins and ask him to bless America, he will continue to bless America. Let's pray. Lord, how grateful we are for all your many wonderful blessings. How we thank you for our early founders, for the many, many military people throughout the years who have helped to protect us. We thank you for our leaders, Lord. We recognize that you tell us to honor them and to offer thanksgiving for them. And we do pray for them and lift them up now. And Lord, we ask that you give us guidance. You show us what you want us to do, Lord, so that we might be good citizens, so that we might point the world to the true security, to the true salvation of Jesus. And we ask this now in the name of Jesus. Amen.